So today I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the matchless hope that the real Easter story has for you and I. And you might say that this is possibly a historical event. You may say this is a neat story. You may say, but what else is there about it? But I want to tell you, there's a lot more to it. There are two events historically that scientists and historians have constantly tried to undermine. And one of them is the Exodus story. And the second one is the resurrection. The first one, because all of biblical history hinges on Moses going to Egypt and talking to Pharaoh, say, "Let my people go." Because it was also pointing to the Messiah that would one day, you know, send someone to rescue us. And that was Jesus in the New Testament. So the other event that historians and scientists constantly try to undermine is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I'm here to tell you that the evidence continues to pile up, that these two events did occur, come on. And not just from Christian or Jewish anthropologists, historians, and scientists, but also from those that are not. So as the years go by, more and more evidence surfaces up that this happened. The Bible itself tells us that over 500 people saw him after his death. And not only that, second and third century historians such as Josephus, Tacitus, and Pliny the Younger speak of Christ and of Christians and about how they met to worship Jesus and to sing hymns. And Pliny the Younger states, listen, they bound themselves by a solemn oath not to any wicked deeds, but never to commit any fraud, theft, or adultery, and never to falsify a word. So these historians wrote about this very peculiar people. Why were they so willing to die and to live so righteously if Jesus had not resurrected? If he wasn't who he said it was? Well, the reason is because they believed in the resurrection, and their lives themselves were a testament of the power of it. They knew they had eternal life that awaited them, and they were willing to die for the very same cause. The Apostle Paul, to whom Jesus appeared on the road to Damascus many years after the resurrection, said this in his letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 17 to 20, says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you're still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we're more to be pitied than anyone in the world." But listen, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died." Paul emphatically stated this because he was a satisfied customer, wasn't he? Of the matchless hope, of the power to live alive the way it's supposed to be lived. Come on. Connected to the living God. Connected to the Creator. Why would Satan work so hard to erase this event? You know what? He doesn't care if you believe in a prophet. He doesn't care if you believe in a nice man and a teacher. You know, this Jesus some people talk about. The reason is because the greatest release of life-changing power occurred on that Sunday morning when the grave opened and he came out of the grave and he proved to the whole world that not only he had paid for all their sins, but he had the power over life and death. Come on. He had power over life and death. This matchless hope that rose from the dead has also enabled us. Listen, he has enabled you and I to believe in resurrecting not only our lives, but many things in our lives that seemingly seem dead, that seemingly are dead. Think about the deadest circumstances in your life. Jesus' death on the cross cannot be disputed. Like I said, historians continue to pile on the evidence. And it was God's very own design that he should do it. This was the perfect payment. He poured on all his wrath on Jesus that you and I may live. All of us are sinners. No one can say we have not sinned. All of us have had many failures, many regrets, many things we wish we had not done, we had not said. So Jesus came to pay for all of that. Did you know that there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus? Hundreds of years before that were spoken and written. And every single one of them is being fulfilled. Most of them have already been fulfilled, and some are yet to be fulfilled when he returns. Come on. But how could we believe that he had power over life and death if he had not resurrected? Listen. Maybe it would have been like those disciples that wondered, what's going to happen now? All the things that he said, was it true? But wait a second. Yes, he has shown hints of his power. Did he not raise Lazarus from the grave? The Bible says that when he died, the very hour that he died, the many saints that were in the graves came out of the graves and they walked into Jerusalem, and I'm sure people were amazed. But I'm sure there was still lingering doubt. Could this Jesus really raise me up in heaven to eternal life? Could he do it? So when he died, he gave proof to humanity, not only that he loved them, not only that he paid for their sins and its consequences, because there are many consequences to our sins, aren't there? But also that he would resurrect them in heaven. Come on. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and you might be that whosoever here this morning, believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This is not just a nice little play we put together. This is not just a nice little human video we put together for your entertainment. It's so that you would receive the good news that Jesus died for all your sins once and for all, and that he rose from the grave. Come on. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. The greatest peace any person can have, and the world is seeking peace at this hour. Just look at the news media. Just look at your Facebook feed. There's no peace. But Jesus said, my peace I give to you. And I want to tell you from personal experience, there is no peace than to know that your sins have been forgiven, that they're not being counted by anyone. Blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven, it says there in the Psalms, whose sins are not counted against him. Oh, when Jesus washed me, I knew it was different. He began to change me from the inside out. The anger that I had, I used to get in a lot of fights. But when the Holy Spirit came into my life, he began to write everything. But that's the cool thing, because when you receive Jesus, the Bible says that you are sealed with the Spirit of the promise. And the things that you can never change. And I know some of you have been trying to change certain parts of your life. You've been praying or asking God for certain things. But you need to receive him in your heart as your Lord and Savior. And then he's going to seal you with the Holy Spirit. And then that resurrection power is going to come upon you, and you will be able to see change and transformation in those areas of your life, of your marriage, of your children. Come on. There's a future with Jesus. Hallelujah. His resurrection power is able to heal a heart that is broken in many pieces, and I can attest to it. His resurrection power is able to heal a marriage from the brink of divorce. I've even heard of those that have come back from divorce. Come on. We have attested to it. His resurrection power is able to bring joy to the depressed, reconnect failed relationships, inject a try again attitude in a failed business. Come on. Some of you have given up in certain areas of your life, but the resurrection itself is proof that those areas of your life can come back to life. They can come back to life. You see, the resurrection is the greatest success story. Paul called Jesus the first of a great harvest, as we just read. When he resurrected, it allowed to resurrect your dreams. It allowed for you to resurrect the future of your children and our youth. Come on. To resurrect the prospect of a nation that is currently on CPR. We need Jesus in America like never before. But I need to start with you. If you don't have Jesus in you, you need to receive Jesus in your heart today. That's why we're here today. Hallelujah. God asked the prophet Ezekiel, can these bones live again? Can they live again? And Ezekiel responded, God, only you know. Only you know. But he said, Ezekiel, prophesy to the dry bones, because they will live again. I'm going to put my breath of life in it. I'm going to see tissue come upon them, the organs, the ligaments, everything is going to come upon them. And eventually, I'm going to give it the bread of life. And the Bible says there that it eventually became a great and mighty army. Come on, God is looking for a great and mighty army. Can the dry bones of America live again? Can the dry bones of America live again? I say yes, because there's resurrection power. It has never lost its power. There's not 1 ounce of power that sipped out of it. It can still change every life. It changed me, He can change you. He forgave me, He can forgive you. God is about resurrecting your life, your purpose, your joy, and your satisfaction in all of it. Some people have no satisfaction in life. I say you need Jesus. He says, I came to give life and life in abundance. Since I came to Jesus, I've had the best adventure. No, it's not been free of problems. I've had a lot of tribulations. Jesus Himself said, you know, in this world you will have affliction, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. Come on. Hallelujah. He wants you to live life to the fullest. That's the power of the resurrection. It's the matchless hope that we have in Jesus. Such life makes you want to live and die for Christ. It makes me want to live and die for Christ. Yes, nothing has lasting satisfaction but the life that was released by the resurrection of Christ. Let me tell you, it's not just a form of inspiration. I'm not just trying to motivate you. It is a supernatural power component to it. And you need to connect to the power. You will be changed forevermore. Look at what it says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. And I'm almost done. I once thought these things were valuable. And he's talking about his achievements in life without Christ. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake, I have discarded everything else, counted it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with Him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. Let me just say that again. This is your day of salvation. It says, I no longer count on my own righteousness. No, it's not by my good deeds. It's not because you're here in church. But it says, rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ Jesus. What He did, what He taught, what He stood for. For God's way of making us right with Himself depends on faith. And it says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. That's worth saying again. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death. Yes, there is a dying to self. But it says, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. It is all worth it once you have Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know where you are, but I want you to know that God wants to personalize the resurrection to you this very day. God is into personalizing. Some people personalize their plates. Some people personalize their phones, right? Well, God wants to personalize the resurrection to you this day. You're thinking, oh, that guy needs it. My spouse needs it. But He's saying, no, you need it. You need the power today. Matchless hope is offered through you. First, through having the greatest peace that exists. We talked about it. To know that your sins are forgiven and that you can have a relationship with the real God. You know, there's really two kinds of people here. You know, sinners who have been washed by the blood of Jesus and sinners who need to be washed by the blood of Jesus. Every single person here who's asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior one day said yes, whether it was on a one-on-one encounter, somebody that shared Jesus with them, or maybe in a church service like this, or vacation Bible school, or some other event, a concert. But all of us, there was a first time when we said, Jesus, I'm done living life. And in so many words, we said, I'm ready to give You my life. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit is already speaking to you. And I want to ask you, do you know if you have eternal life? Because the Bible is very clear. Apostle John says, these things I've written that you may know that you have eternal life. We don't have to wonder, am I going to heaven or not? The Bible says we were sealed, you know, with the Holy Spirit of the promise. And we know that we know that we know that we are His. Come on, not because we're so good, not because we're so special, but because we have received the free gift of eternal life that Jesus offers us.